Welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues, and more. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is RWR, or Rob McDonald. Rob is an award-winning author, a Kiwi, and a queer dad living in Melbourne with his two daughters. His debut novel, The Nancys, won Best First Novel in the 2020 Nio Marsh Awards, as well as being a finalist in the Best Novel category. It was shortlisted for Best First Novel in the 2020 Ned Kelly Awards and highly commended for an unpublished manuscript in the 2017 Victorian Premier's Literary Awards. Nancy Business is Rob's second novel. Rob, welcome to Dad's on the Air.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So, Rob, your new book, Nancy Business, it could be described as crime fiction. It's unusual in that the narrator is a 12-year-old girl named Tippy Chan. How would you describe the book?
When I was writing The Nancys, I was following a story. I wanted to write a murder mystery. So there is a lot of family drama, and I just was following the characters, and I love that idea with murder mysteries for the reader to be able to try and, you know, solve the murder as they follow the amateur detective. So yeah, it does have quite a few different elements, but it seems to have found its way, and Nancy Business being the sequel, into the crime section of the bookstore, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah. It does follow very smoothly from your first book, The Nancys. Were you conscious of making it able to stand on its own feet as a standalone book?
Yes. So Nancy Business certainly can be read as a standalone, and I worked with the editors at Allen and Unwin to ensure that, you know, there's enough backstory there for someone who hasn't read The Nancys to be able to follow it and read it, you know, on its own. When I first came up with the idea of The Nancys, so they're an amateur detective trio and set in South Island, New Zealand. So it's Tippy, who is 11 in The Nancys and 12 in Nancy Business, and her babysitters, so her uncle Pike and his boyfriend Devon, and that's the trio. So when I first came up with that idea, I saw that there was a larger story around Tippy's dad, and that it would be a trilogy. So I actually went into writing Nancy Business with that in mind, that this was book two of a three-book series. But that being said, each book can be read as a standalone. But what I wanted for those readers who had read The Nancys to have a bit of a, I guess, deeper or richer experience with the characters, knowing a lot more of the backstory.
You mentioned some of the characters there. You've got, Devon, and you've got Uncle Pike, and you've got the mother, Helen, or Lenny, as she's sometimes called. Then you've got the animals, Fabulon the dog, and Bunny Whiskers the cat. Have you drawn on your own experiences with all these characters?
Yes. I think with us writers, we're always, you know, even if we're writing fiction, there are elements of our personal histories or experiences that are threaded in there. Sometimes, I know for me with the Nancys, it wasn't until I had, you know, 80,000 words down that I kind of saw some patterns in there that you think, oh, okay. And I grew up on a farm in South Otago, which is the setting that I chose for the Nancys and Nancy Business, because it was a place that I've returned to. I grew up there and have returned to pretty much every year, except for COVID, of my life. So I've been able to see it through very different eyes, which the characters all come to it with different experiences. So you've got Pike, who, you know, as a teenager escaped the place. You've got Tippy, who's just grown up and that's all she's known. And then you have Devon, who's come over from Australia and looking at it as a tourist. So either. Yeah, but growing up in on a farm, you know, we had farm dogs, which is, you know, Fabulon's based on farm dogs that we grew up with. And, yeah, so it's fun to be able to sort of draw on those experiences but play with it in fiction.
Yeah, you are a solo dad with two daughters. Was it hard to find the time or just to settle down to write 80,000 words, as you mentioned then?
Yeah, so I co-parent with... So we're a rainbow family. I co-parent with... They were a lesbian couple. They split up 8 years ago. So we're actually a three-household family, which involves a spreadsheet, as you can imagine, working out where the kids are going to be and trying to also make sure that the kids aren't moving around, you know, all the houses within a week. So that... did mean, I guess, not seeing them as much as I did before the couple split. But the kids have been fantastic. So when I do have them and I'm, you know, have a deadline or, you know, I'm doing edits, they're very good. They were fantastic in running lines for Tippy because they were around the same age. And I also made a conscious decision not to plagiarize their childhood, so not take anything that they've done and, you know, put it in the book as Tippy. And I let them know that, and they've been fantastic. But look, what it meant is when writing that first draft, I was working full-time as well. And, you know, the play centres, you know, the indoor play zones, those kind of things were fantastic when the kids were old enough because I could write and they could happily play and it was safe. So I owe a lot to the indoor play zone. And then, you know, the other thing, I would use my commuting time, my lunch time. And what I was trying to do most of all is when I do have my kids, so I see them quite often. We split weekends three ways. We split holidays evenly. I now have them overnight during the week for a couple of nights as well. So it's all kind of organically progressed this way. Is when I am with them, I want to be with them. I don't want to, you know, put them in front of a TV and write. So I really try to get as much writing done when I don't have the children, if that makes sense.
Well, look, I've seen enough problems when there are just two households to coordinate and each parent might want the children and they're, you know, as you say, you need a spreadsheet and you need to a lot of negotiation. I just can't imagine what it'd be like with three.
But... yeah, it's next level. And look, I think the thing is, and I'm sure this is the case with, you know, all blended and co-parent situations, is the biggest arguments is around wanting more time with the children. Mm. And if that's what you're arguing about, then that's, I think, not a bad thing in terms of, I mean, you know, it's stressful, I get that, but in terms of each party actually wanting to be with the children versus the other way around.
We're speaking today with Rob McDonald, who is the author of a new book called Nancy Business, which follows on the success of his first novel, The Nancys. Rob, about this stage, we usually ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song for the show, and you've picked one for us.
Yes, so I picked Maxine by Sharon O'Neill, a Kiwi who made it in Australia as well as New Zealand.
And that was Maxine by Sharon O'Neill, always one of my favourite singers that we've appropriated in Australia, who originally came from New Zealand. And, yeah, look, that's a great choice by our guest today, Rob McDonald, who is the author of a new book called Nancy Business. So, Rob, your book, Nancy Business, it's a modern story. It's got elements of mixed race and gay characters. Was one of your aims in telling the story to promote diversity?
I don't know if it was to promote. It was more to reflect, I guess, the world that I'm in. So I'm a gay man. I'm, you know, part of a rainbow family.
Can you explain what a rainbow family is? I hadn't heard that expression before.
Oh, okay. So that's, I guess it's a family that has been, if we want to use the word, created by queer people. So, you know, we made a conscious decision to, so this is myself and the girls' mums, to create a family. And so this was during the Howard times when, you know, the Marriage Act was getting passed and, oh, you know, there was all kinds of things going on. We sat down and talked about it. It happened sort of organically that I was sharing a house with one of the future mums, and it was towards the end of that that we'd sort of started talking about how we wanted to be parents one day, and we'd always thought of that. And then, you know, we actually started seriously talking about it when we discovered we had the same, I guess, family values, or what kind of values and what we would like to see for our children and how we would go about parenting and all of those discussions. So that's what I mean in terms of rainbow family. It can be, you know, it can be a gay person on their own who's either adopted or a couple that's gone through surrogacy, or in the case of our family, where you have gay couples who are co-parenting together. So it's got many forms, but I guess it's within that community and that umbrella, because it's, and you know, you get asked all kinds of questions about, you know, how were your daughters conceived, and just, you know, some pretty outrageous kind of things that you wouldn't you know, ask a heterosexual couple. But yeah, I mean, for me, it is, you know, I always wanted to be a parent. That was always something that I wanted. I never thought, because I'm gay, that I couldn't be a parent. I'm not sterile. You know, it's just, there's these sort of assumptions made that because you're gay, then that sort of means you're not eligible, or I don't know. So anyway, it was something that we all brought our families along with when we did decide that this was something we were going to do together. And so all of our extended families are, you know, so my family are aunties, uncles, grandparents. There was no difference around that, but it does mean my kids have a massive family and get a lot of presents, which they're quite happy about. And we're also of the mind that we didn't want our kids to be, I guess, you know, having to protest or do anything on our behalf. That was never our intention. So, you know, when the plebiscite happened, we were obviously at the rallies and marches, but we were saying to the kids, you don't need to, you know, we don't want you front and center with this, but they chose to and they wanted to, and they're proud of their family, and they, you know, would talk about it at school and do those kind of things off their own volition. So, yeah.
I notice you sometimes use the word queer. Is that something that's just used within your community, or are you quite happy for anyone to talk about you as being queer?
For me personally, what it means for me is it reminds me that we are a community and that we do need to look out for each other. And by community, you know, or communities, I should probably say, is, you know, LGBTIQA+. Because if I say gay man, which I do identify as a gay man, then I feel like sometimes that is easy just to kind of just follow that, and you're almost forgetting about the rest of the community. So, yeah, I mean, I have it in my bio, so if someone refers to me as queer, I'm very happy for that. But I do know there are other people, and, you know, older gay men as well that don't like the term. So I think if the person has used it and it's in their bio or whatever, then totally fine to use it.
Okay, now your book is called, yes, we've mentioned it's the new book is called Nancy Business, the first one called The Nancys. Who is this book really addressed at? I mean, do you see it as being addressed to children or to the grown-ups?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is for adults, and the reason being, yes, we have a child protagonist. There's sort of a number of reasons for that. One of the things I like about having a child telling the story is that sense of hope, and I guess, you know, a child at that age hopefully is not really overly jaded or cynical, and even if you do have terrible things happen, there is still that sort of hope and optimism that things will be solved and things will get better. And I wanted to, I guess, look at crime and crime stories through that lens. Yeah, that was why I chose Tippi. And then one of the sort of motivators to actually write it, so like I mentioned before, 2006 I came up with the idea, but it was 2014, I believe, when there was a news story about Michael Moronis, who was this boy in America, and his mum found him after school one day, and he had tried to hang himself, and it was because of severe bullying at school over a long period that his mum didn't know about. And it was over his love of My Little Pony, you know, and it was just awful. It's just like, this stuff has got to stop, like, no more. So it's that sort of thing where you think, well, what can I do? And obviously, you know, there was a fundraiser for the family and that kind of thing. And I knew I had these camp characters and, you know, sort of unlikely heroes. And I thought, well, if I can, you know, write this, you know, if it can get out there, if it reaches one parent who reads it, gets to know these characters, maybe they haven't had much to do with gay people before, and they can have that chat with their kid, and it can some way help another kid not get bullied, or for someone to stand up for them, then that to me would be the ultimate success.
I guess it is covered a little bit in this in the book with a bit of suggested bullying of Tippi, but I guess one of the main things that occurred to me is it's if for people that like British crime mysteries, this would be right up your alley, because you're taken on a journey to see who might be the murderer, and you have to really match wits with a 12-year-old girl from a small town in New Zealand on school holidays. On the other hand, are you wanting to help empower 12-year-old girls?
Well, I just like that idea. And look, anyone listening will be like, oh, wow, it sounds really heavy. No, the concepts and what I'm trying to do within it, you know, that's what I'm trying to do when I'm writing it. But for the reader, I wanted it to be an easy read, an enjoyable read, and accessible. So Tippi and her uncle share a love of Nancy Drew and Nancy Drew Mysteries, which is kind of where they get their detection skills from. So, I think the humour is sort of leans towards more the British side of humour.
There are some dark undercurrents, and there are suggestions of suicide of not the main characters, I guess, but they're some of the on the fringe. And so, is that another element? I mean, you just mentioned what happened in America. Did you want to bring that in?
Yeah, look, I think in this book, so in The Nancys, you know, Tippi's father, and this isn't a spoiler alert, but Tippi's father had passed away 9 months prior to the book starting, and towards the end of that, her uncle and Devon have been, you know, part of the reason they agreed to outrageous sort of mystery solving of a murder with a kid is to try and help her process her grief around that and get her to sort of open up and start talking about when Nancy Business starts, it's 4 months later, but in the opening sentence, we see that Tippy has been having counselling. So I wanted that mental health aspect in this book, and about people getting help when they need it, and also, yeah, discussing those kind of topics with, you know, when it happens and how the impact of that, and talking to it with children. So I did quite a bit of research around that, about, and also talking to kids, you know, or talking to children when there's traumatic events, or, you know, in this case, there's an explosion in town, and what does that mean for a kid, and, you know, the next sort of day or week, or how should you approach that? And just on the earlier question with having a girl, this was sort of the unlikely hero. So it was trying to have a story where you've got these characters, so, an, you know, 11-year-old girl and two gay men, who you wouldn't normally see front and center as the main drivers or the main sort of detectives. Rather, you know, normally they'd be secondary characters. So it was about exploring that, and I guess celebrating these sort of other heroes that we don't normally see.
Are there lessons in the story for families? I mean, for example, there are quite a few sort of fights and arguments that come throughout the book, and then they seem to get resolved. So is that another thing to draw from this?
Yeah, I think you've got Uncle Pike and Sister Helen come from a very WASPy background, and where, you know, emotions and feelings are never discussed and almost frowned upon. So I think it is around communication and, you know, having those difficult conversations, and I guess being open and trying to be, yeah, able to listen or be there for each other is what I think ultimately what brings this unconventional family together. And by that I mean, you know, you've got Tippy and Helen, but then you've got an uncle and a boyfriend, and you've almost got this, you know, pseudo grandmother figure and the next door neighbor and a sister, an older sister, and the next door neighbor's grandchild. So you've got this, I guess, blended family or family that's, you know, not purely biological, but that love and care for each other and are pretty tight.
And look, for anyone that does read the Nancy Business, the good news is that, as Rob mentioned, it's part of a trilogy. So it actually calls out for the final part of the trilogy when you get to the end of this book, I can assure you. That's all the time we've got available today. So look, I'd just like to give a very special thank you to our guest, Rob McDonald, the author of Nancy Business. Rob, thank you very much for being on Dad's on the Air.
Oh, thanks a lot, Bill. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email, and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to any of our shows, go to your favourite podcast app or our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dad's on the Air.